Hey, and this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. This is the Shatter broadcast, the live radio broadcast here on a Thursday evening. It is Thanksgiving, November the 25th, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Listen, we're going to say that we are grateful. We're very thankful for what God has done, who God is, what God has done for us in our relationship with many of you. And we're thankful that God saves today and heals today and God loves us today. And that amidst all the other things that are going on and the sense of looming darkness that I know that we talk about and that so many others talk about. Well, listen, we are grateful for all the great things. Listen, in this country, with all of its difficulties and troubles, let me ask you something. Is there another nation you'd rather live in? I want you to think in terms of the freedom you still have, the opportunity for doing the work of God, and listen, we have some time. Today is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be grateful, thankful, and be grateful for all things. So I pray today that you're thankful, that you are giving thanks to God. Listen, when you begin to think, and I would say this right now, try this out because it goes to the message tonight. If you were to begin just spontaneously to start saying, God, I thank you, and then make a list. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for the Spirit of God. I thank you for helping me here. I thank you for the prayer answer over there. I thank you for this person in my life. And then you go on and on and on and on. Well, I tell you what. You know, when you begin to say, just really even in the arena of thank you for answered prayer and begin to list them. Well, I tell you what, all I know is when I begin to do that, I can go way back and think of times 30 years ago where God answered so clearly that, again, I'm grateful and I'm thankful. And I'm thankful that right now the Spirit of God can speak to all of our hearts. I'm thankful right this moment God's arms are wide open for anyone listening to come and receive Christ as Savior and Lord. Let me tell you what else I'm thankful for tonight. I'm thankful for the opportunity to bring to you all of these critical issues and discussion on it and how God has opened the door at a time like this. There's no question that there's been an enormous response, even worldwide, for all those of you that download later on. The downloads are incredible on a monthly level and where they're going. So all over the world, let me say again, hello to you. So many of you I have, obviously have never seen. And most likely in this lifetime may never see. But I do know some, like a friend in the Netherlands that came to Christ. I will see that friend when Christ comes. And so many others. And let me tell you something, that is part of the incredible thanksgiving that we can offer up to God, that Christ is coming, the Prince of Peace is coming. That he's here right with us, that he never leaves or forsake. I'm thankful for the promises of God. Well, let's get into tonight as a whole. This is the week that we're doing a series, A Random Mix of Critical Issues. Monday night we did the occult and satanic crimes issue. We had a live interview on Darkness Radio. Tuesday night we did energies and powers and the entities behind that. Obviously, millions that are seeking those energies don't realize the entities behind it. And then we had a live interview on Call to Decision with Aaron. Wednesday night, the tick of the prophetic clock. And tonight, simply this, how God makes powerful prayer, awareness of spiritual danger, and thanksgiving. How God can mix all three of those things in one development of our lives. Now, I want you to know that it's like if you were a bodybuilder and all you ever did was arm curls, you would build biceps. And, you know, anybody working out knows that they can't just work on one area. They're going to have to work on all the areas. as a believer, we're going to have to work on all the areas. All the areas of our development. And that takes the time. That takes the daily walk. And listen, amidst all the other conspiracy we talk about, and yesterday as we, jumped right into Revelation 12, and an immense, absolutely astounding revelation of the future, of the past, of what's going on now. It's prophetic. It's about the shadow government, the regime that's inseparably connected to the Antichrist. That if the Antichrist is alive out there, the regime is in place and alive out there. So that's why I think so many people are feeling it and sensing it, and people are searching, and they're seeing all these global-level signs. Jesus talked about the signs of the end, things that we can look at, so that we know that the tick of that prophetic clock, well, it's right down to the last hour, and we're right down to the very end of things, and even though I say that we have the most unprecedented rise and ramping up of the dark side, that's in the progressive, that's in the evolutionary sense, the slow manifestation as kind of growing worldwide. And because it has become so large, obviously it's the world knowing and feeling and seeing. And what we know and what we feel and what we see is only the tip of the iceberg. Revelation 12 goes under the carpet. Revelation 12 tells us about the real entity, about the regime, political, government, military, and economic regime that's going to have to be in place. That that even that dark side is furious and raged and ready, because they know the time is short. They know Christ is coming. So they've got to do everything they can to acquire all that they can to make that last stand at Armageddon. Please understand, let me announce it clearly, the last stand of the dark side literally is Armageddon. Later on, the end of the millennium, there is a momentary release of Satan from being bound. Well, that's all stopped instantly. But we're talking here as far as right now in this fallen world that you and I live in. That the last stand is Armageddon. It really is. And you and I are living in the development towards that day. And what we see and what we hear and what we know, what we feel, I think Revelation 12 gives deeper and broader explanation, gives us an ability to say, you know what? We're closer to this thing than most people think. Yeah, that's right. Now, yesterday I went over all of this in Wednesday's 1 hour, and so I don't have time to do it again tonight, but I did not get to the three questions. So let me bring those out, because I said that I would. The three questions at the end of Wednesday's session, the tick of the prophetic clock, examining future history in light of current trends. Number one question, here it is. Do you know what time it is really? I mean, based on biblical prophecy and looking at everything, because it has to deal with the global, do you know what time it is? I mentioned yesterday again the difference between the prophetically revealed incremental progressive development of the dark side, and then the event, the first one, Black Awakening, the Great Revolt, and then the apocalypse of Antichrist, and then the rise of the false prophet, the regime that rises worldwide, the political global, the political military, the political economic. And then all that ensues in those 7 years, including the opening of the abyss, this interaction of the wrath of God beginning to fall on the beast kingdom, and then Armageddon. So all of those are the events. Those are global events that are that cannot be mistaken. Nobody's going to have to say, is this it? When the events begin to strike, they will be globally demonstrative. They will be seen. They will be it will be shockwaves in a lot of ways. So it's been a little harder to examine the slow, incremental, secret power of lawlessness because, well, the supernaturally laced secrecy, the masquerade of that spirituality along the way is what's grabbed most, literally, really. The masquerade that it's a spiritual alternative, that it's a spirituality, well, what spirit is it connected to? New Agers, 2012ers, occultists, secret societies, well, the fallen cherub. So as we look at things, we, I believe, are at the end of that progressive development, and the events are about to kick in. And once they do, that's it. One after another, the most demonstrative manifestation of demonic presence and control and development and destruction, loss of human life, all the way to Armageddon. So do you know what time it is, really, in the, on the prophetic clock? And then I would say the second question was this: are you ready? I mean, even right now, I think many Christians that are listening and that are growing in Scripture and in knowledge of all of this would look to the rest of believers and say, what's wrong with you? That so many are not, they're just kind of like, you know, lollygagging along as if we're living 60 years ago, as if we're in Disneyland. I mean, it's just the same old thing going on and on and on, trying to be relevant, but not knowing what time, not knowing the urgency, not knowing the vast bulk of biblical content, revelation, prophetic revelation, spiritual warfare aspects, they're all being missed. But I'm going to ask you, are you ready for the biggest events in human history? And I would say that right now is the time to be ready. God wants you and I to be ready right now on the spot. That's what part of the armor of God is. Putting on truth, putting on righteousness, and then the readiness, preparedness, the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. That you are ready. And that has the idea that you're alert in the presence of God and attentive to His Spirit in discerning spiritual warfare attack even. And then the third question is this: will you take anyone with you? If you and I know that it's close to the end of the very end of days, can I ask you that in the greatest mission of all, the greatest demonstration of God's desire, the cross, Christ, the blood, all these things we talk about, it's all about God so loved the world that He didn't send His Son in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. That God doesn't will that anyone would perish, but instead that all would come to repentance. That God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, as He says in Ezekiel, but rather that they turn. Do we understand the passion of God, the heart of God, the urgency of God? Listen, if you know the train is about to wreck, it's one thing for you to jump off quick enough, but what about anybody else? When it comes to salvation, I'm talking to believers now. You and I both know there is no higher spiritual experience that deals with the issue of sin, the code inside of us, the death code issue, the Satan's, you know, rights over us, eternal loss. Separate. There's nothing that fixes those issues except what Christ has done at the cross. What He has done there is blasting apart the powers of, the finalities of, the penalties of sin, the code of sin, the code of death inside of us, the issues of hell, Satan, all of it, and opens wide the door. And so many of you right now by the thousands know Jesus personally in your life. Some of you listening don't. And you're going to hear again and again and again whatever subject we feel led to go into. I could bring you nothing greater, and it would be an astounding shame, And it would be really horrible failure on my part not to bring you the most powerful, incredible, individual, spiritual individual in all of history. I don't think anybody doubts that. I do believe that many millions of New Agers and others that have been sold hook, line, and sinker by the dark side, a fake version, de-deified, non-safe, and you don't even know him. You know he's just pushed to the side. Do you know the real? You know, this one that raised Lazarus from the dead, this one that fed the thousands by one act, this one that walked on water, that commanded nature. He had power over nature and power over sin and power over death, power over all diseases, and the power from infinite God to give eternal life, indestructible immortality. Let alone the fact Jesus said it, you'll have to examine it. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. A description of God in all the depth of his care. No one comes to the Father except through him. He is the Savior and the healer and the deliverer, the helper, the empowerer. He's a God King, and he is my friend, my Savior. I know him. He lives in me. He's coming again. I shall see him face to face. And by the power that raised him from the dead and that saved me, and you if you're a believer, that power will, in the twinkling of an eye and the flash on an atomic level, bring you into indestructible, irrevocable immortality. Now, I think there's got to be a few believers out there that can give thanksgiving to God for that. Am I right? Thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving for the astounding salvation. So the Spirit of God says in the book of Hebrews, don't neglect so great a salvation. Don't neglect it. You can do so many things to become so much stronger and deeper and spiritually effective if you'll give your time and avail yourself to the will of God. I'm going to say right now, I don't care who you are, weak, in between, or strong as a believer, all of us can become stronger. All of us, by God's design, by God's will, are to be conformed to the image of Christ, clothed with the power of God, get powerful, massive, great answers in prayer, win friends to Christ, influence our society, be able to use spiritual authority and crush the dark side. There are so many things we can grow up in that we're supposed to be, but also what we can do, even in the midst of the darkness. Don't let the darkness scare you. Don't let the dark issues of the day push you into the corner. Become stronger. Become bolder. Let me give you a verse today for you to look up. It's Joshua 1:9. Oh, my friends, will you take Joshua 1:9 and sink it into your life? Listen to what God speaks into you with that one verse. Now, tonight, we are dealing with how God can mix three elements: powerful prayer, awareness of spiritual danger, and thanksgiving all in one. And we find this incredible revelation in the book of Colossians, in chapter 4, verse 2, God simply says these words. Now listen, listen. It's, God says, devote yourselves to prayer, and then being watchful or watching or alertness, the idea of alertness there, and then with an attitude or heart, with gratefulness or thanksgiving. Now here we have to be... Literally, this word is dealing with the power of prayer, power in prayer, vocally calling out to God for the answers. So prayer and then watch. This incredibly great little word the Spirit of God spoke to be awake, alert, and watch for the impending danger. And then Thanksgiving. And in the midst of all of it with Thanksgiving. Now, here's what I'm going to say, that if you do what this scripture says to do, you're not working out just prayer. You're working out prayer and spiritual warfare watchfulness. And then if you're putting in Thanksgiving in the midst of your time with God, you're putting in an element that reminds you. Listen, let's go over all three of these. Let's begin with the word devote. Or the word, you can see it where it says in translation, continue. But literally the word has to attend to constantly. There should be a persistent devotion to three things. This powerful element of prayer, this great element of watchfulness, and this incredible grace of thanksgiving. Each one of those elements is a different aspect, but they're inseparably connected here. So if you've got a half hour to give to God and you gather in His presence, and you try this out all week long, that you're going to be just pouring out the prayer, lifting up your voice to God. Now I want to say this when it comes to the prayer part. And again, if you will do this week, even try it today, instead of some folks just go and they have crisis prayer. Only when something bad happens, they run to God in prayer. Now, we're allowed to go to God in crisis. The book of Psalms is filled with that. But don't use God like a jack-in-the-box where you put God away until something troubling comes up and you kind of wind, you know, the thing and get God to come out of the box. I mean, you can't put God in the box. You can ignore God if you want. That's to your own detriment. That's literally insane. As believers, we got to be nuts to do this when we know how we can walk with Him in fellowship. If you're a believer and the living God dwells within, the Spirit of God, is there any higher presence that could be living in you? When the Bible says that, don't you know you're a temple of the Spirit of God? When you read Romans 8, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. So if you're not a believer, if you don't know God yet, it's not about whether, you know, you against a Christian. This is between you and God. It is God that wants to know you. It is God that wants to redeem you and fix the issues that are going to completely separate you for eternity if you don't get these things fixed. Sin is real. Satan is real. Hell is real. Our separation from God is real. You and I have sinned. You and I caused the problem. But God has overwhelmingly brought the answer. And this answers it all. Body, soul, and spirit. Life here, right now. Development and eternity. It all deals with the end of days too. Jesus gave, as Savior, He gave, and in His role of prophet, priest, and king, the prophetic, you know, Matthew 24, again, is an astounding chapter all the way to the very end. So I want to ask you about how consistent you are. I want to ask how persistent you are, because this verse says devote yourselves to prayer. It has the idea of a real and maybe even passionate commitment where you're constant, where you're persistent, where you're coming again and again and again and again, and not just at a crisis moment, or not just once a week on a Sunday morning. I had a guy years ago that, you know what he did? He left his Bible on the pew every Sunday. And every Sunday he came back in the midst of the sermon, you know, sermon and so forth, he'd open it and go along. Then he'd leave it there. I asked him one day, why in the world he would leave his Bible there on that pew during the week, all week long? He said, because I want to know where it's at. So when I get here, I can use it. I looked right at him and I said, what about Monday? What about Tuesday? What about Wednesday? What about Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? You mean you set the book aside and then you have it in its place and then you open it up only during a sermon? Which is good, but that's only supplemental. When you have this massive, infallible, you know, content of revelation, what God the Holy Spirit has said and is saying, when you have words that are alive supernaturally, when you have the words that have the very presence of God in them, on them, and that every time you read them, he's there. Come on. When you've got the words of life, the words of faith, the words of grace, come on, you're going to leave that to once a week? Are we nuts? It is the spiritual food we have to have as believers. It is the faith builder. It is the communicating. Listen, how's God going to remind you? Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to come. He'll remind you of everything you know. He reminds you of the content that's in you. Even in Colossians, we read in chapter 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Like you are a treasure chest with the lid open and all the treasures just flowing over the top. All of these revelations of God, these words of God, this prophetic revelation, this instruction, these examples, these pictures, these communications, all of this living content. I mean, I read in 1 John chapter 2 where young believers are made strong. They overcome the evil one. Why? Because that word of God lives in them. And it's the word of God right now that instructs us about these three seemingly separate areas, but all three can be done. Listen, you can practice this today. In 5 minutes, pour out prayer, become spiritually alert, and watch for the satanic, demonic, impending dangers, and get an awareness of anything the enemy's doing. And then thirdly, throw a great thanksgiving up all within 5 minutes. Try it out. Prayer, watchfulness, thanksgiving. And do it again and again. And then do it within a half hour, where in the context of that bubble of time, in the context of presence with God, you know, that's the only way you can do your study of Scripture and in worship and prayer. You know, you get down and just begin to worship God. But here, I believe that any believer can be incredibly powerful, attentive, growing, knowledgeable, knowing, and prepare themselves to hear from God. I really believe that. I believe this builds a consistent, strong, spiritually emotional side of you. I believe it brings about a consistent fruitfulness. I believe it helps bring victory in spiritual warfare again and again and again, because this verse is all about preemption. So let's start with devote. Let's start with consistency. I once heard somebody say, in prayer and discipleship and growing, things like that, meeting with God on a daily basis, be persistent until you are consistent. I read in the Psalms, there's a verse that years and years ago I memorized, and it's just always in my head, where it says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in eager expectation. One way of translating the Hebrew is, morning by morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. Morning by morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. Could you imagine again, every day specifically given time to be quiet, center in, worship, acknowledge the unceasing, unbroken, living presence of God in you, upon you, and before you, knowing there's a throne of grace that God says come boldly to find grace and mercy to help you in your time of need. So there's no question, God wants you in that manifest sense of direct relationship. Now see, if you're listening to me right now, you can't listen to 5 or 6 or 7 other things. My wife thinks it's uncanny sometimes when I'm working on something. I have the radio on to the right, or I have a TV on low, and there's times that I can cue in and look over there. But you know what? I don't do that. That can't be done in the midst of prayer and worship. I'm not going to go and gather at the church and begin to pour up prayer and worship to God and have, earplugs in listening to a ball game. I just could not do something that crazy. And I think that maybe we don't realize how attentive God is to us, how God sees and is here for us, how God is on an infinite scale, omniscient, omnipresent. I mean, God is just there always for us. We're in his presence, whether you feel it or not. Whether the enemy's causing doubt, you know, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, is what the Word of God says in Hebrews 13. You know, I got over that a long time ago. You feel God, you know, one day and you don't feel God the next. Well, he's with me today, he's not with me. No, that's not true. There's all kinds of things that can come in with your emotion, with spiritual warfare, with your lack of attentiveness. And I would say this, that even sometimes when you feel a real lack of God's presence, you know what? More than anything, that gets my attention. That manifest felt sense. Because I'm so used to now, because I know he dwells within. We're walking with him. He said, I'll be with you to the end of the age. You know, in personal life, in ministry, in all aspects. I could be out washing the car. I could talk to the Lord. I could be out cutting the grass. I could talk to the Lord. I'm aware of his presence. In over 35 years, Jesus has never left me. He doesn't leave us. And so I sink these truths in, and then I experience. Listen, you know what? That's the only way you can do it. When you look at James chapter 1, if you just look at the word and don't put it into practice, don't appropriate it, well, then you deceive yourself and you go on weak and decrepit and crippled spiritually. But as it says in James, anyone that takes the word of God puts it into practice, well, they're going to be blessed in what they do. Putting it into practice, you experience what it's talking about. You grow stronger. Your faith is broader. Your ability to know and counsel and share and witness. You have more content for the Spirit of God to remind you. And obviously, you have a broader sense of the possibilities and power in prayer, the sense of warfare, alertness, armor of God, authority, all these aspects, and then the thankfulness. See, God doesn't want you to be just a hardened warrior to where it's just critical looking at all the impending danger and all the stuff. So included, if all I did for a half hour is just sit there and say, what's the enemy doing? What's the enemy doing? What's he doing now? What's he doing in the politics? What's he doing over here? Is there a cult crime over there? Where is there another victim of ritual abuse? Where is there a coven? Where is the spiritual arrows that Satan is sending? So I can do that, and that's a good thing, to be watchful, to be attentive to the impending danger, literally. A great Greek scholar, Kenneth Wiest, takes that one little word and defines it that way. And I would say that's true. It's the exact same word used in 1 Peter chapter 5. When the Spirit of God, through Peter, who knows experientially very well, says for us to be self-controlled and alert, watchful, looking for the impending danger. Why? Because your enemy, the devil himself, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You know, I studied that word devour. It means to, like an animal swallowing another animal whole, drinking you down. An alligator, you know, taking in a duck. And this is what we're to be aware of, that predatory presence that is prowling around as a predator. Now, listen, God says seeking someone to devour, looking for the holes, looking for the weaknesses, looking for the open doors that so many of us sometimes give to the enemy, looking for where he can throw those arrows, those communications to create doubt and weakness. You know, listen, if we begin all of this with the surrender to, you know what? God says this one word, devote, to attend to constantly. First of all, Lord, I'm going to commit and devote myself. Not only, you know, to praying, you know, I can be praying. I can be alert. I can give Thanksgiving all the time during the day. I can do that all where I'm at, riding on the bus, wherever I'm at work, you know, out cutting the grass. But no, I'm talking about a specific time we need to, a time of prayer. Don't just say, well, you know what? I talk to the Lord as I drive into work when I'm half sleepy drinking my coffee. Okay, well, you could do that. That's a good thing. But better is that you had 20 minutes or a half hour in devoted, specific time with God. You know what? That shows you honor his presence. That shows you really, really honor him. That shows you really believe. There's power in prayer. Ask, you'll receive, seek, you'll find, knock, the door will be open. That gives you specific spiritual alert time to look for and say, Lord, give me a heads up. That gives you opportunity to say, Lord, thank you for this and thank you for that and thank you for today and thank you for your power and thank you that you'll stretch out your hand in advance over the day as I pray over the day, over all these aspects. Thank you, God, for the answers already. Now, let's just stop and say for a half hour, you just pour out prayer. Just like in, and I like Acts chapter 4, how it says they raised their voices together to God in prayer. Now, this little word prayer here has that idea of crying out, of raising up your voice. You're calling out, and in the biblical context, for the answer, for God to hear, and for the answer that's going to come in. So if all I did was pray for a half hour, that's fantastic. But even better, what if I add within that half hour the concept of watching? See, pouring out the prayer gives you one disposition. If all I did for a half hour was just be alert, try to sense in the Holy Spirit and ask the Lord for a heads up, what's the enemy doing? What warfare's coming? What's going on over here? What do I need to be alert of? How's the enemy come this way? What assignments are here? What warfare is coming against us? You know? And if I did that for a half hour, that's good. That really exercises my senses too and prepares me and gives me the heads up. I don't have to wait to be hit by one of those arrows from Satan. I don't have to wait for some coven to raise demons up and send them after me. On a daily basis, I can preempt and say, Lord, you know all, you see all, you know what everything's, you know, all that's being done. Where do I need to say, by the authority of Christ, in the name of Jesus, demonic assignments and demons coming and lies that have been sent, the arrows, you know, to lift up my faith, for things to be broken, for the Lord to go against the work of the enemy, for Jesus to crush the work of the enemy. To be aware if an arrow has been sent that it's already sticking in my head because I didn't have my faith in the word up all the way. So that alertness, that awareness. Now see, that gives a disposition though. While I'm being alert, I'm really focused on that area, and I need to be. But God didn't say just be alert, just watch. Sandwiched in between prayer and thankfulness. Now what about one half hour of just thankfulness? What if I just, for one half hour, got down and began to say, God, I devote a half hour, and all I'm going to do is say thank you, and not one other thing. I'm just going to give thanksgiving. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your attributes of love, infinite presence, omniscience. Thank you, Father, for your care. Thank you for the promises in prayer. Thank you for the blood of Christ. Thank you for coming again. Thank you for saving me. And on and on and on. Now, I tell you what, I know one thing, that literally lifts you up, builds your faith, gives a joy. I mean, being thankful and having a heart of gratitude, I mean, really, that shows respect for the Lord. So God is able, though, to develop us with all three of these. And with the first part of this command by the Spirit of God, literally it's a command to devote, to be continuous about something, to attend to constantly. I mean, you can look up the word, but it's really this concept of God bring. I mean, the Spirit of God is commanding. Be constantly diligent. One aspect of the Greek means, and that's vital when we think in terms of commitment, earnestness to God. Now, it is in the present active imperative. Imperative means command, folks. God wants your spiritual life to be broad, to be big, to be powerful, to be spiritually warfare, acute and strong and prepared. And then the thanksgiving side, the gratefulness that causes our hearts to just melt with love for God. See, God wants to develop us in all the areas. And so this is laid out. If you do this one time this week for a half hour, you'll see the benefit. But God doesn't say to you and I, do this one time during the week. As a matter of fact, he didn't even say just do it once, a 20-minute thing in the morning. This concept of prayer, alertness, and thanksgiving can carry through the entire day. But when you have specific time, at least specific time every single day, that you have time with God. Now, all of us have been at least taught that maybe in early days of our development as a believer. But I want you to know this. I love that verse in Psalms where it talks about in the morning. I'll tell you why. When you launch out, like, you know, get up in the morning, take your shower, get your coffee, whatever, you go off to work or whatever you're doing, and you go off for the entire day. Now, there might be times that you put up a prayer here or think about this here or that, whatever, but ask yourself over the last month, or 5 years, for that matter, if doing it that way during the day, you've really put up great intercessory and powerful prayer, and you got answers left and right. Ask yourself during the day that you've been really watchful concerning spiritual warfare and alertness there, and what about Thanksgiving? See, I think, again, that can happen during the day in a fluid sense, but that the sense in which you meet with God, you and I get to meet with God in that manifest sense, in that sense of awareness, in your presence, Lord. So in my worship, and I set aside that time, would you agree, would you not agree, Christians spend more time in personal direct prayer or more time watching TV? Would you agree that Christians spend more time in a direct format of prayer where they're right there with God for an hour or more time on Facebook or other things? When prayer has all these massive possibilities, you ever see the possibilities in Scripture of the miracles? When they have, you know, we have this foundation of promises, the simplest, easiest one to understand. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. In that context, Jesus goes, how much more will your heavenly Father, you know, how much more even? You know, Jesus taught it very plainly. If you and I being evil or, you know, give good gifts to our kids, and take, you know, even, you know, we as, even when we are sinners, you know, at least I've seen good, fairly good parents. You know, I was raised in a non-Christian home. There was no prayer. There was no prayer at the table. There's no prayer in the house. There's nobody laid their hand on me and prayed for me. There's no prayer in our house. I never heard anybody praying. Ever in our growing up. So, but you know what I do know? My dad worked. We had food on the table all the time. We had a house to live in. We had play. We had toy. We had, you know, not knowing the Lord, and you could say being evil, my father knew how to give good food and take care of us, and if we were hungry, you know, things like that. How much more? That's what Jesus is trying to show us. How huge, how enormous is the generosity of God, the way of miraculous and extraordinary events that could be done. And again, I'm going to tell all of us that are involved in understanding the end of days and the conspiracy and darkness all around us, none of that has anything to do with how powerful, how massive, how great answers to prayer can be. As a matter of fact, we might even see things more demonstrative. I mean, look at Daniel in the book of Daniel when he had no place to go. He had no worship place to go. He had 56 demon temples. You and I are not living in that thick darkness that Daniel in that city. I mean, we could talk about conspiracy among presidents and leaders and stuff and what we think they are, whatever. But no, Daniel had a king that definitely worshipped a demon god. It wasn't, you know, hidden anywhere. So that was the reality of Babylon. And all the fat traps and sat traps and, you know, all the rest of the Chaldeans and sorcerers and astrologers, they're all into the dark spirits. The whole place was that. The only ones that had the Spirit of God on them and that walk with God, well, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's all we see. And so Daniel, look what he's done. Constantly, he is devoted to prayer, man. You want to know his success? Begins in chapter 1 where he resolved not to be brought down by the darkness around him. But instead, he stayed pure in his walk with God. And three times a day, he out of his entire day, you say, wow, that's impossible. No, it isn't. Not if you're watching out, you know, 4 hours of TV each day. Not if you're spending 3 hours gaming and everything else. No, it's not. As a matter of fact, if you realize how important, privileged, incredible, powerful, and how necessary prayer time is on a personal scale, what could be done? What could get done? You know what? I think a lot of our lives, because of our lack of faith and our lack of prayer, we've missed out on so much. You know, the weaker we are spiritually, the harder it is treading it out. It really is. It's hard to be a believer when we're spiritually weak. The stronger you become, well, I really do believe the more sense of shielding and fruitfulness. And see, there's a lot of people that never led a soul to Christ. They don't even have one person they can point to they've led to Christ, even though they're a believer, even though they might even claim they're Spirit-filled. And they've been a believer for 20, 30 years. And that's why I ask, are you taking anybody? Listen, if that's part of the Great Commission, see, I have no problem bringing exposure to the dark side and dealing with all of that as the Word of God commands and as I know a calling in my life. Well, we're supposed to, like Ephesians, you know, 5, expose evil deeds of darkness. But we're also, you know, preaching all of the Word of God and not selective, you know, areas of it. So spiritual warfare is a, like in this very one verse, it's right there in the midst of prayer and thankfulness. And I'm going to say this, a lot of believers, they can do some praying and thanksgiving and worship. But a lot of believers know nothing about spiritual warfare. And if this verse has not been put into your life, then you're not preempting the enemy. You're waiting till you get hit. We're always waiting till we get hit. We're always waiting to where it's a little too late, you know, where we've gotten hit up, where something's occurred. And that we're just simply very spiritually dim when it comes to the movements of the enemy. Remember the disciples, they were having the Lord's Supper and Jesus looked at all of them. They're all eating and talking and fellowshipping and it's a great thing. Great thing. Very joyful. Maybe a very joyful Thanksgiving, you know, they're eating and, you know, but Satan walked in the room and not one of them knew it. Not one of them felt it. Not one of them were aware, except Jesus, of course. Simon, Simon, Satan is just asked to sift you. Now, Jesus is giving them a heads up. What if he didn't say anything? See, the enemy's working all the time. He's working all the time. But what if you go to the Lord in the morning, you lift up your worship, you're in his presence, and then you pour out prayer? What if you're pouring out intercession for souls and lives and people, and you're praying over the bosses at work and the place of work, and you're praying for family members, and you're praying for your day in advance for God to give you strength and give you wisdom, and you're praying about meetings that you're going to have. And so in advance, already before you've launched into the whole of the day, before you've gone out into 15 more hours of the day, you are already praying over the day, and you're preempting the day, and you're interceding over the day, and you're praying over the events, and you're taking the opportunity to take those promises, and you're asking so you receive, and you're seeking so that you will find, and you're knocking so that the door will be opened, and you're doing all of that in the morning. You're doing, you know what I believe? When I do that strongly in the morning, there's times in the middle of the afternoon or later in the afternoon where the effect and the answer of those prayers strike. And at 4 o'clock, I can look back at 8 a.m. in the morning. That's where it all began. At 6 o'clock at the meeting, I can look back because it went so well and God was there and things worked out. I can look back at 8 o'clock when prayers and intercession and the Spirit of God led me and guided me to pray over the day. So when you start doing what God says right here, devote yourselves. You devote yourself. You know, like it's like that word we have in Jude. You build yourself up in your most holy faith. If you don't have anybody to preach to you, get the word of God and preach it to yourself. Build yourself up. What are you doing there sitting so weak? Especially if you're a historic couch potato, then you're just simply backslidden. You're neglecting the grace and the salvation. And you're weak and nothing can come through your life. Can you even hear God if that's you? I'm assuming that many of you listening want to be very strong. And I have said that we should take what the Holy Spirit says here. It's a command by God to all believers. Devote yourselves. This means giving God consistent. Now, I'm going to say it this way. I would say the best that I know of is in the morning, before you take off anywhere, even whether it's college or school or whatever else, before you do anything else, that you set out at least a half hour. At least one half hour to where, you know what? Can I ask you something? Is this important at all? Does it matter? You better believe it. As a matter of fact, your entire spiritual life can be turned completely around by beginning to do what God says. I mean, do it the way God says to do it. I think he's a little smarter than you and I, don't you? So if we will devote ourselves, which means, you know what, I'm going to do it Monday, I'm going to do it Sunday, I'm going to do it Tuesday, every day. I am committed. You know, I go to a prayer meeting, I go to a worship service, but in my personal life, I got to meet with God. What a privilege. What are the possibilities? But you know what? As a soldier for Christ Jesus, as a servant of the Lord, as a believer, I need to be there. I need God. I have no qualms about saying that. People say, I need a cup of coffee. Well, okay. That's okay. I like coffee. I do. You know me. I like French roast. I have a cup every day or two. But we're talking about something where there is nothing higher to this concept of giving God a half hour, if you're able, an hour. Give him the entire time to where you're going to get there in his presence, begin to unleash worship. It'll be totally interactive. You'll be able to pray by the guidance of the Spirit of God. Put out your intercession. Put out your prayers to everything. Put out your prayers for the day. Put out your prayers for your daily needs. Intercede for all of those around you. Pray for the advance of the kingdom of God. On and on and on. And then in the context, as you're pouring out those prayers, get quiet a little bit. And move to the next. Lord, here I am. In the time slot that I'm here, I am now, as the Spirit of God commands me to consistently do, watch. I'm going to watch. I'm going to be alert. And right now, remind me, preemptively make me aware, what's the enemy doing? What arrows are being sent? What ways is the enemy trying to tempt me? What's the enemy doing in my family or my church? Or, you know, I want by who's greater, God the Holy Spirit in you or the demons outside of you? 1 John 4:4, right? So do you have any greater help? God the Holy Spirit, he knows where every demon is. He knows every assignment. He knows everything they're sending. He knows all that they're doing. There's nowhere they can run. And you know what you're doing? You're saying, here I am, Holy Spirit. Here I am, Lord. Give me the heads up. What has the enemy done? What is the enemy doing? Listen, if you will practice this, have paper before you too. I'm going to say you'll be able to listen to the Holy Spirit, become more familiar with his voice. You will get a heads up in spiritual warfare. Now go into this knowing I have authority in Christ to trample the dark side. I have the armor of God on. And if the Lord, if the Holy Spirit makes me aware that demons are really coming after me in a particular way, I'm going to, first of all, make sure that I have submitted to God, resisting the devil. But I'm going to, in the name of Jesus, command them to be broken. Command those assignments. In a day in which ritual, satanic ritual warfare has been unleashed, and I'm going to say it goes all the way back to the 50s, but specifically the 70s as we've tracked it, all the way to now, every city in the United States, that includes you, Europe, and Russia, and that includes, well, everywhere that I know of where this is being downloaded and listened to. The enemy is there seeking whom he may devour, right? That's what God says. So in the midst of prayer, I am saying I want to be watching for the impending danger. What is the enemy doing? What has he been doing? What is he mounting up? What do I need to pray with the authority of Christ against? What do I need to ask the Lord to go attack the enemy's work, deliver me from the enemy's work, et cetera, et cetera. It's there where I can pray specifically about covens and demonized people and things that are going on where I know there is demonic activity manifest. And then the last part is, you know, when I'm done with going through that and covering that area and dealing with the enemy's issues and standing there attentive to the Lord and ready with his authority and so forth. See, nobody else can do this. Nobody else has been given the authority to use that authority. And I would say this, use the authority that Christ has given you in Luke's gospel to trample the dark side. Use it in every possible way. In general prayers. I think every church, in the midst of their interceding, if they're going to have a half-hour prayer where they're leading all their people in prayer, incorporate praying against, in the name of Jesus, by his authority given, all the dark powers in the air, in the area, operative. Yeah. Why not? Why do we neglect using this weaponry and allow, by lack of it, the enemy to encroach? Well, in the midst of the intercession and prayer and passion, you know, to pour out for the sake of the advancement of the will of God, and the watchfulness with the response of dealing with what's going on by the enemy, then just pouring in, Lord, thank you. I mean, by the time you get to this part, thankfulness can flow. And just pouring out, God, I am so grateful. I am so... And maybe even listening in this hour, God has reminded you. If God has convicted you, that's okay, because conviction means his light points you to getting out of it and getting filled and full. And well, I just pray that you will devote yourself to prayer and watching and thanksgiving. In that practice, you will grow spiritually in all categories and become very strong, Lord. We are at the end of the hour. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. God bless you all. And listen, remember us in your prayers. And for some of you, please remember us as a whole in support. God bless.